American woman.
It's the Kim Monson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
I find that it takes work to get your brain around these ideas, and it takes work to engage in these conversations.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
With what is happening down at the State House, I used to think that it was above my pay grade to read the legislation, and it's not.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
I see big danger in as much as we will be giving an unelected bureaucrat the power to make rules about what we inject into our body.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed, let's have a conversation, and welcome to the Kim Monson Show. I am Kim Monson. Thank you so much for joining us. Each of you are treasured. You're valued. You have purpose. Today, strive for excellence. Take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body, and live with intention. You were made for this moment. And thank you to this team that I get to work with. That's producer Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, Charlie, and all the people here at Crawford Broadcasting. Cannot believe that it is Thursday and it's Veterans Day, producer Steve, and you're a veteran. So instead of saying thank you for your service, I'm saying thank you for my freedom.
Well, this comes up every year, and I want to say I need to put an asterisk by the fact that I am a veteran, because we talked to, you know, through your other show, we talked to so many people who really were in harm's way and really, you know, saw the awfulness of war. I did not. Yes, I volunteered in the mid-70s, and it was the best thing I ever did in my life, but I don't count myself in that other group of men and women.
But you see, this is a big, broad thank you, producer Steve, because you and all of those that had the blessing to serve during peacetime and not see combat also stepped forward. And if you were called to danger's way, all of you had made that commitment that you would step into that particular role. So certainly not to take anything away from our combat veterans, but each and every veteran, I want to say thank you for my freedom. And thank you for stepping in to a time when we were at peace. And that's when we really would like to have it, is a time of peace. But to all of you veterans out there, thank you for my freedom. How does that, Steve? Does that work okay for you?
Yeah, I don't want to rain on your parade. It's important to me to make that distinction, because in my mind, there were men and women who gave a heck of a lot more than I did. I mean, someday maybe I'll be your guest on the Veterans Show and I can, you know, talk more in depth about my experiences, but nothing compared to them.
Well, and to that point, a great interview this Sunday that is going to broadcast on America's Veteran Stories at 3 p.m. And we talk with Matt Albright. He's the director of the Center for American Values, where they have the gallery of Medal of Honor recipients in Pueblo. Powerful, powerful interview. And he's told me a story about William J. Crawford twice. Every time he tells it to me, I just get emotional about it. And so we'll be sharing that story with you on Sunday. And again, powerful, powerful. So it is a Veterans Day. And to all of you out there, thank you so much for my freedom. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Monson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. And you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And I do appreciate each and every one of you who support us. We are an independent voice, which it's an honor to get to work with Crawford Broadcasting on this. But what that means is I buy my airtime for both of these shows. So it is all of your support out there. I appreciate it. And all of these great sponsors that I get to work with. And if you're a business out there and you think that we align with each other and you might like to advertise with me or become a sponsor partner, I would most definitely love to chat with you about that. And so you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. A couple of my great sponsors out there, Kanjani Coffee, Kimberly Bell. With all this labor stuff, Steve, people are looking for good people to go to work for them. And she's looking for a couple of baristas, and people can email her at kim at kunjanicoffee.com. That's KUNJANICoffee.com. And then Hal Van Herkey, the owner of Castlegate Knife and Tool, they're also looking for a retail sales associate, and you can email Hal at Castlegate.com. So there is work out there, and people are looking for good people to employ. So be sure and check that out. It's kind of astounding to me, Steve, that you compare where we were under the Trump administration and where we are under the Biden administration, and taking out the personalities. We just want to look at where we were before this whole COVID-19 Wuhan China virus reaction disruption. Of course, there's all kinds of information that we could talk about over there, but let's just compare. When Trump came in, lower taxes, lower rules, lower regulations, what happened was the economy, the private economy, was booming. And unemployment for women, for Hispanics, for blacks was at all-time lows. Black home ownership was up 6 points. Then we go over to here where we have the government mandating, through OSHA, then if you don't get the jab, you can't keep your job. How did that happen from people thriving and prospering, taking care of themselves, to if you don't get the jab, you don't keep your job? It's pretty remarkable, Steve.
Well, all those criteria you just mentioned in terms of economic status, energy status, anything can be charted and graphed. And let's just pay attention here in whatever time frame you choose to talk about. Say another 6 months. We'll certainly have had a year of this administration, and start charting and looking at the difference, because it's going to pop out at you. I mean, you'd have to be Helen Keller not to see it.
Well, and we want to really move into, 2022 elections are right around the corner. And I am very concerned about the doubling down of this Brandon administration on the American people. And people are frustrated. They're concerned. I mean, certainly if you're looking at facing losing your job if you don't take the jab, the stress that is being put upon the American people. And to the credit of the American people, we continue to, I think, be uniquely American. But we need to, I think, make sure that we're reclaiming our American spirit. And I think that's one of the things about Veterans Day that, at least to me, it makes me stop. And I think about all of these amazing stories of these men and women that have, some of them have sacrificed everything to stand against tyranny, to stand for freedom, to stand for liberty. But also, many times, they also do that for the soldier or the Marine that is right next to them. And so it's just an amazing thing. It's been such an honor to get to do all of these different interviews. And so before we get into our quote for today, which is, it's a little longer, but I wanted to acknowledge one of my great sponsors, and that is Kirsch Insurance Group. And they are sponsors of both of the shows. And this is, I find government is so goofy that government comes in and says, oh, you can only make changes to your 2022 Medicare plan from October 15th to December 7th. And so that's the time that you need to sit down with Kirsch Insurance Group, Marlon, Danielle, Naomi, all the team over there. And they have proprietary software that they can run your Medicare prescriptions and see which particular insurance plan is going to be best for you. They don't work with just one. They work with most of the carriers here in Colorado. And of course, I can't believe November 11th, December 7th is going to be here before you know it. So don't procrastinate. Make sure you set yourself up for success. And you can reach them at ikirsch.com. That's ikirsch.com. That's ikirsch.com. And so, Steve, as we set this up for this quote for Veterans Day, this is something that I actually, when I was over in Normandy, we were at all these different museums, and this was on a big postcard, and it just stopped me in my tracks there. But it becomes more and more important to me, I think, each year. And I thought it was really important to pull out on this particular Veterans Day. And on this Veterans Day, actually, Steve, I am on location. I'm up at Snow Valley Ranch up outside of Winter Park. And I have the great honor today to give the keynote address for the Veterans Day breakfast for the Summit and Grand County veterans. Very excited to be up here. So it's great to have this little rig. So if I sound like I'm a little far away, I am a little far away, Steve.
You are. This is great technology. And I mean, before you mentioned it, I'm not sure anybody would have known that you were not sitting here at the console like you normally are.
And there was a dusting of snow last night, and so it's absolutely beautiful up here. And as I said, I'm really, really honored to get to share this today. But so in 2016, I had the honor to accompany with the Denver Police Activities League four D-Day veterans that we went to Normandy, France. It was a group of about 26. We went to Normandy, France, with four D-Day veterans to celebrate the 73rd anniversary of the D-Day landings. And what was so amazing to me, Steve, when we got there, is it was like these guys were rock stars. And the people of Normandy, France, of Belgium, of Western Europe, still revere these guys. And this is a letter. This was on this postcard. And this is what it said. So give me just a minute here. It says, "Dear veteran, I'm writing to say thank you, and through me there are thousands of children speaking to thousands of veterans. Like us, you were young and carefree, but when you were only 20 years old, liberty called you to say, 'I'm dying, come and save me.' And you arose full of courage and zeal to answer that call. You underwent training day after day for the D-Day, and one day in June, you arrived by air and sea. And you fought with the heart and soul of a free man, so that we too might be free. You saw your fellows fall on our beaches and in our fields, and in spite of your grief and your injuries, you stayed on with us and fought side by side with us. And so, dear veteran, I want to tell you, regarding those dear to you who sacrificed their youth and are now resting in peace, the sleep of the just, that we are the children you never had. And to you, dear veteran, who offered your bravery and your promising years for this our land, I say to you, we are your sons and daughters of liberty, who want to say to you today a heartfelt merci." And that's from Jean Goujon. And I just think that's super powerful, Steve.
It is, and I've seen many a documentary going back to any of those celebrations, those observances, and to watch the native people of France and Belgium, the look that's in their eyes, the fact that there are, you know, if you do the math, obviously they were, you know, very, very few of them were actually there on that day. These are now the children, the great grandchildren, great grandchildren of the original, you know, people to witness this event, and obviously they're passing it on to the future generations.
Well, and they are, and so we visited several school children, and they had all kinds of questions, and they're teaching that history, so they know that. They actually are adopting graves of our American soldiers there. They learning about the lives of those young men, and they were young, 17, 18, 19, 20, that were storming those beaches. And what was amazing, so what happens is many of the people there in Western Europe in Normandy, they will actually dress up and do reenactments. So when we left, unlike Afghanistan, we won the war there, but there was a lot of American equipment that was left. And over the years, French farmers, they would take those jeeps and tanks and they put them in their barns, and then they started to fix them up. And so there will be all these reenactments with American equipment, and many people dress up in clothing of the period. So it might be, you know, women in dresses of the period, or dressing up as American soldiers. But one of them, we were at St. Mary Glees, which was the first village that was freed by the Americans. And we were there in, right out in front of the stop bar, and some of our veterans were there, and people circled up. And this guy came up to them from Belgium. He was dressed up as an American soldier. And he said, "It is because of you that I am alive. If it was not for you, my grandfather would have gone up in smoke in the chimneys here. But because of you, he lived. And because of you, I am here. And I want to say thank you." Is that not, so not only thank you for my freedom, thank you for my life. Is that not powerful, Steve? It just is. It's just super powerful.
Well, again, I watching the video that is taken at these occasions, these observances, you cannot help but see what's in the eyes and the faces of the people who still live there today and understand what actually went down so many years ago.
Well, and it wasn't just Normandy. I mean, there were invasion. Actually, they call them invasion. Actually, I would say that they were are freeing all of these different people. But there were beach landings all over and throughout our different wars here. And so to all of you who have put on a uniform, we say thank you. But we're going to go to break. When we come back, we're going to do three segments with Dr. Jill Vecchio. We haven't had her on for a while, and she's got some new information that hasn't been talked about regarding the COVID-19 Wuhan, China virus and just this reaction to this. So we're going to go to break. Before we do that, though, I want to acknowledge another one of my great sponsors, and that is Castlegate Knife and Tool. Hal and Linnea Van Herke are true entrepreneurs. They have a family-owned business right here in Sedalia, Colorado, and they have knives from the best blade makers from throughout the world. And certainly, if there is a chef on your Christmas or Hanukkah list, Castlegate Knife and Tool, they're getting all kinds of inventory in for the kitchen, is a great place to get that gift. But or if you are buying for a sportsman, Castlegate Knife and Tool, again, a great place for that particular gift, or, of course, a collector. So be sure and check out castlegate.com. That's castlegate.com. We're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll be talking with Dr. Jill Vecchio.
With the federal government printing money, it looks like inflation is on the horizon. That is why you should lock in a low rate now on your mortgage. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group is here to help. Lauren works with a variety of lenders to assist you in finding the mortgage that is just right for you. Locking in a low rate now will save you thousands of dollars over the life of your loan. Don't procrastinate. Don't wait any longer. Call Lauren today at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, MONSON.com.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there, and you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And I thank all of you for supporting us. We are an independent voice. We search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through this lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it. It's never compassionate. It is actually tyranny, but it is never compassionate to take other people's rights, property, freedom, or livelihood via force, whether with a weapon, policy, unpredictable and excessive taxation, fear, coercion, or the latest silent thief, government-induced inflation. Something's a good idea. You should not have to use force to implement it. Can we say OSHA mandates by the President Brandon administration? So on that, we've got on the line with us Dr. Jill Vecchio. And it's been a little while since we've had a conversation with her, so we've got a lot to talk about. Dr. Jill, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Kim. It's nice to hear your voice again.
Good to hear your voice as well. And a lot has happened since we last talked. Just recently, the Biden administration has tried to use one of the executive agencies to coerce people to get the jab, to keep their job. The Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals said, that doesn't look like that's actually constitutional. So we've got that question out there. And I mentioned that I'm up in Grand Lake. Sue Kinfield, my friend, wrote up with me, and we were talking about resiliency and what's happening in our country. And she said It's so interesting that we've gone from the very beginning at this two weeks to flatten the curve, where our healthcare workers were heroes and they're flying, you know, planes over the hospital saying thank you, but gone from hero to zero. If you don't get the jab, you don't keep your job. Is this not remarkable, Dr. Jill?
Exactly. And we've talked about it in little bits and pieces for a long time, kind of how the government is using and trying to control what doctors can and can't do more than they've ever done before. Obamacare, I mean, it's been a slow progression, and Obamacare took a giant leap. But what's happening with this vaccine is even worse. And since it was kind of Veterans Day, and thanks to all the veterans and their families for everything they do and have done for us and the world, right, over the centuries. In light of that, I thought, well, you know, let's kind of take kind of a little bit of a military or a historical approach. And so I've actually done kind of gone back through how have governments manipulated physicians in the past, and you know, is there a template for how this works? And I believe that there is, and I think that if we don't shut down this government attempt to control how our doctors are allowed to practice medicine and when they're allowed to practice, and when they're allowed to say, no, I'm not going to do that procedure, if we don't address this very quickly, then we're going to be going down that slippery slope that other kind of physician groups in different countries have experienced and become complicit with some pretty terrible things.
You know, Jill, how did we, and I hear what you're saying, I know this is, and I actually, we're going to do a show in December, we're booked up until December right now, on medical discrimination, but I have heard the story on good authority, we'll be contacting the person, that they went in to have a procedure done, and asked for something to make the procedure less painless. And the nurse said, no, you're not vaccinated. We can't give that to you. And then mm-hmm. the doctor came in and said, you're not vaccinated. We can't give that to you, and proceeded to do the procedure without any relief of pain. This is, I think you're kind of starting to
exactly where I'm headed
take a look.
Yes.
Right. Okay. Yes. Here we go.
Yes, and I had a whole pile of articles from Epoch Times, and literally like every other page of every single section of Epoch Times involves something having to do with COVID. And you start reading the things that they're like one of the headlines was anti-conscience mandates force doctors to violate their religious beliefs. In other words, there are like Ezekiel Emanuel, remember Rahm Emanuel, the chief of staff to President Obama. Ezekiel Emanuel was one of the authors of Obamacare. He's a eugenicist, and he wants to force doctors, if you perform deliveries, if you're an OB, an obstetrician, then you should be forced to also perform abortions. And he's the head of like I think he's the editor for New England Journal or JAMA or some, you know, huge medical journal. He has immense influence, and this is the kind of stuff that he preaches. And he preaches about how if you discriminate against somebody because of their or if you deny medical care because of somebody's age, that's not discrimination. If you deny somebody medical care because they're old, then all you're doing is just acknowledging that they have had more life years than somebody else, and they really don't deserve any more of our resources. This is the kind of thinking that justifies the kind of behavior that you're talking about. You know, people being denied organ transplants because they haven't been vaccinated.
Oh, right.
Even if they have, if, even remember that in Colorado. It also happened
right.
in, I think, Washington State that it was happening. And now, and then I think Florida and Texas started campaigns saying, come down here. We'll give you your transplant. We'll do your transplant for you. Come on over to us.
And see, that's free market. That's one of the reasons, Jill, that this idea of federalism here in America, that the federal government is supposed to have very limited powers. And then all those powers in the 10th Amendment, it says the powers that are not designated to the federal government goes to the states and to the people. And that's why this petri dish of 50 different states then that do different things differently is so important, because it keeps a free market. It says, okay, if you're not going to do it, we can do it here. But the problem with this is what has happened is a state like California or Colorado that's making poor decisions, poor financial decisions, then what they want to do is go to the federal government and have all the other 50 states bail them out. So we need to work more back to this 10th Amendment and state, I hate to say states' rights, but state sovereignty, so that we have this competition, Jill.
Yeah, I mean, well, it is about states' rights. That was the number one step in the progression. So I'm going to go through stuff that happened in Germany between World War I and World War II, and then during World War II, because that.
Okay, let's do this.
You know, you can't talk about like the example you gave a few minutes ago. The gentleman who came up and said, "If it weren't for American soldiers, I wouldn't be here because my grandfather or father would have been gassed or killed in a concentration camp." Who was doing the gassing? Who was doing a lot of that killing? It was physicians and nurses.
On that note, Jill, let's go to break early so that we don't have to break into that conversation. I'm talking with Dr. Jill Vecchio, and we are talking about what's happening in the medical arena with all this reaction to the COVID-19 Wuhan, China virus. Before we do that, though, normally it is Levine Thursday. Normally we talk with the REMAX award-winning realtor, Karen Levine. She is traveling right now, and so I just wanted to give a great acknowledgement. She's been really our first sponsor of both of the shows, and I've known her for many, many years. And in this particular crazy time in this metro real estate market, she's seen the ups and the downs. Of course, this is quite unique what we're seeing now, but you really need to have somebody that you trust on your side of the table. I think she said there's at least 30 different data points when you're buying or selling a home. And so having somebody on your side of the table who's a professional that understands all this is very, very important. And Karen Levine is the person that can help you with that. I highly recommend her. Her phone number is 303-877-7516. That's 303-877-7516. And be sure, and she can also help you with new bills as well. And so be sure and reach out to her. We're going to go to break. When we come back, we're going to continue this very important conversation with Dr. Jill Vecchio.
Home ownership and private property rights help you build wealth for you and your family. RE/MAX Alliance award-winning realtor Karen Levine understands this. Supply is super tight right now. This is why you need a seasoned professional with excellent negotiating skills on your side of the table, whether buying or selling an existing home or buying a new build. As a member of the National Association of Realtors Board of Directors, Karen Levine volunteers hours of her time to help you build your American dream. Call her today at 303-877-7516. Again, that's 303-877-7516.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Americans Veteran Stories with Kim Munson, Sunday afternoons at 3, here on KLZ 560 AM and KLZ 100.7.
God bless America.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And thank you to all of you who support us. And yes, it is November 11th. It is Veterans Day, a time to remember and say thank you to all of our veterans. Thank you for my freedom. And Dr. Jill, before we get over to what you're going to describe in Germany, and I think actually this was something the very first time we met, when you were out in front of this whole Obamacare legislation, and you had realized just the danger of what was happening. And I remember that you explained what had happened in Germany, and it was riveting. But you had also taught me something about Dr. Benjamin Rush, who was one of our founding fathers. And he knew this way back then. These guys, you know, they were read extensively. They understood human nature. And Dr. Rush said this. He said, unless we put medical freedom into the Constitution, the time will come when medicine will organize into an undercover dictatorship to restrict the art of healing to one class of men and deny equal privileges to others. The Constitution of the Republic should make a special privilege for medical freedoms as well as religious freedom. He knew it way back then, Jill.
Isn't it prophetic? Because that's exactly what we're going to talk about today. Because we're going down that slope. The first thing, and this is what Obamacare started, right? Obamacare, there are about half of us that have read the law. That believe that it was specifically designed to crash the medical system, our healthcare system, so that we would have no alternative but to go to socialized medicine or single-payer healthcare. That's the number one, that's the very first step in having what Benjamin Rush warned us about, is this socialized medicine, government-controlled medicine.
And because already, if government controls the medicine, they control the people.
Absolutely. Yep. When government controls healthcare, they control the people. They determine who's worthy of life versus death. And we've talked before about limited resources. So every single payer healthcare system has one pile of money, and that's it. So if one person spends a dollar of that money, somebody else can't get that dollar worth of healthcare. Well, now when you're dealing with a limited resource, now you've got the government deciding who gets what. You get this health care because you got your vaccine, or you don't get the health care because you didn't get the vaccine. And what are we talking about now? I mean, those are actual conversations that are happening right now. Who's allowed to get medical services depends entirely on whether you've been obedient to the whole vaccine thing. That couldn't happen in a decentralized system. In our system, because of Obamacare, so many physicians have sold their practices to large corporate healthcare that the corporations are now little governments, and they own these doctors. They can't, I mean, none of this would be happening if 80% of doctors own their own practices, because there's no way they can enforce it. You
but
know,
doctors,
you may not get hospital privileges here, but some other hospital will take you over. But if the hospital's the one writing your check, guess what? They get to tell you exactly what to do, and most doctors are just going to bend over and do it.
Well, and the other thing about it, though, is I remember talking to a physician, and cares deeply about his patients, and through all this, he said, I don't think I'm a bad businessman, but he said, I would sit down and it's like, we're not making a living here. And it was all because of public policy, all of the reporting, all of this stuff that had to happen, had to hire people to do that.
Yeah. All the billing, all the coding. Yes.
And so then you put them in a position like that, and then they almost have to sell their practices, although there's been some creative things that's happened, but so many of them did sell their practices. As you now say, you no longer have that relationship with your doctor. You see the doctor who's there. You don't know each other. And it just takes away that doctor-patient relationship that has been something that has been so kind of sacred in American medicine up until very recently. The other thing, Jill, I in the whole reaction to the COVID-19 Wuhan, China virus when government came in and said which businesses were essential and which were not. I mean, you can see that's a precursor of government coming in and saying which person's life is essential and which person's isn't. It's terrifying.
Exactly, exactly. And that's exactly what happened in Germany. So they got first, and this was during the Weimar Republic, they got socialized medicine. So that was a pre-Hitler thing. We also have progressives controlling the vast majority of the medical societies. American Medical Association, and probably only about 7% of doctors actually belong to the AMA, but all of the state medical societies and some insurance, medical liability insurance companies require that you be a member and pay dues to the state medical societies, which then fund the AMA. So it's this weird little racket going on where in Colorado, I was required to be a member of Colorado Medical Society. So they made money in order to get my medical a certain discount on my medical liability insurance. And then in turn, then the AMA got a chunk of that money as well. And in the AMA were the ones that sold out the doctors and supported Obamacare. It's like, are you kidding me? We're funding our own demise, and I don't think doctors realize at all that the American College of Radiology, American College of Surgeons, American College of Pediatrics, all of these societal organizations, again, centralized, kind of a mini medical government in itself, are all led by and run by progressives. They don't understand. Doctors don't even realize what's happened to their own society. They're not even asking the questions. But then the societies can make the rules, whether or not you get credentialed. Like the American College of Radiology tells us, you know, if you don't pass all these tests and do what we tell you to do and do it the way we tell you to do it, you can't do any mammograms on patients. So now we've got progressives that are running that have that kind of control over whether or not. So if you don't jump through their exact hoops that change all the time, then you don't get to have a business there. You're not going to be able to practice there. Now me, you know, and they're doing the vaccine mandate here through corporate health care. The corporate health care is saying you have to be vaccinated or you can't work or you lose your credentials. No, I should only lose my credentials if I am an incompetent physician harming patients through my practice of medicine. My malpractice of medicine. I shouldn't lose my credentials because I'm not obedient enough to the corporate administrators that are not physicians.
Jill, to that point, Jared Polis issued an executive order basically giving him the power to determine who will be admitted into a hospital and who will not be admitted into a hospital. Which is absolutely mind-boggling that we could let that happen here in America and in Colorado in particular. But the other thing, if you had read the headline, the actual piece that Patty had on the headline, if you got down a little further, it said that they also might ask for help from federal agencies to come in and help staff these hospitals. And all of a sudden you realize, wait a minute, is there a staffing shortage at hospitals? How did that happen? Well, yeah. This is how it happened, right?
Right, right. I guess one of the things that I find disturbing, and that's really kind of what got me going down this road, was where is the support within the medical community for the right of other medical healthcare workers to say what happens to their bodies and what doesn't? In a community that is supposed to be based on risk-benefit, informed consent, where is the, I mean, the entire medical community should be absolutely throwing fits, having protests, filing lawsuits, right and left, because this so violates the very essence of what we are taught to practice, and that is risk versus benefit is how you make your decisions, and it has to be informed consent, and none of which is happening with this vaccine. there's almost no benefit to it at this point. It's like flip a coin, 50-50. The J&J, as they said, its effectiveness is down to 13%. So there's very little benefit to this vaccine, and there's not going to be any benefit to the boosters either, but the risk can be pretty high. And then you're talking about informed consent. We've been lied to the whole time with the numbers, the risk of this vaccine. It's an experimental drug still. I mean, you know, no physician can tell me with any credibility that this vaccine is not still experimental. I don't care if the FDA approved it. There is no way that you can say that vaccine is safe when you don't even have a year. You don't even have a year and a half of use.
That's clarification. Crazy. On this, the only thing, my understanding, Jill, that has been approved by the FDA is Pfizer's Comirnaty vaccine. But guess what? That's not available out there. So there is something, quote unquote, that, again, this is a smoke and mirrors. Oh, this has been approved by the FDA, but it's the Comirnaty. And the other kind of smoke and mirrors, if I remember right, that then there are the pundits that say, oh, the Comirnaty Pfizer vaccine is the same as the other Pfizer vaccine. And so they're the same. And so they're essentially, they're both approved. It's like, well, wait a minute. If they're both the same, then why are they both not approved? And again, right. So there is not an FDA-approved vaccine, quote-unquote, injection out there right now. I just need to make that clarification my understanding.
Not with full approval, just the emergency use stuff. Right. Okay. But, you know, they're treating the emergency use as if it's like, you know, don't ever question that. Don't question that. So my frustration is, where is the outrage with the entire medical community about how this vaccine has been handled from the very beginning? And why aren't they more supportive of the other health, of the healthcare workers, of their coworkers, partners who have done some research and don't feel comfortable getting this vaccine, or they are resisting it for religious reasons because it has aborted, you know, fetal tissue in it? And then why are those religious objections not being honored by a lot of hospitals? A lot of hospitals are saying, nope, we're not going to accept that.
Well, and the other thing is that you have to get your medical or your religious exemption from somebody else. So you'd have to get a medical exemption from a doctor. I guess maybe that makes sense. But a religious exemption, you should be able to get your religious exemption just yourself. You shouldn't have to go to a pastor or priest to have them sign that, because they're also being forced and coerced in a lot of different ways.
Yes. Exactly. And, you know, So whenever Sean Hannity or somebody on the radio says, so, you know, it should be your own decision, so ask your doctor, and it, somehow that doesn't make me feel very good. Because, in my opinion, doctors are violating their Hippocratic oaths right and left by encouraging their patients or forcing them or not giving treatment because their patients didn't do this vaccine. I mean, how many times we deal all the time with patient noncompliance? They don't take their insulin properly. They don't do what you tell, you know, this is how you're going to get better, but they don't do all of it because they don't want to or whatever. It's their choice. It's their decision if they don't want to get better. And this vaccine, it's just like, wow, folks, when are you going to step back and actually look at the facts about this? When are you going to bother to do your own research about this and just not just accept the threat that's coming from your corporate overlords, your corporate hospital and corporate healthcare overlords? When are you going to stand up and say, stop? If doctors don't do that, I mean, it's just going to keep getting worse and worse and worse. It started with us being required all of a sudden out of the blue under Obamacare or under Obama regime, that now all of a sudden we had to get a flu vaccine or we'd lose our credentials. We couldn't practice in that hospital. You had to have a flu vaccine. If for medical reasons, 1 year I couldn't have it, so I had to wear a mask every single day, all day long, from October to March. It was stupid. Stupid. Well, no decent medical basis behind that.
And Jill, I recall this in this whole kind of vaccine conversation, because I've always appreciated vaccines. I've gotten vaccines, and my kids get vaccines. And it wasn't until, and we have this at the beginning of the show, Steve had pulled that soundbite, that when I was starting to look at some of this legislation that was being put forward, And when I looked at it, I'm like, wait a minute, this is giving some unelected bureaucrat in the future the power to determine what I can and cannot put into my body. And at that particular point in time, that's when I saw danger, danger. And so initially when I kind of mentioned that to you, I felt that I felt a little pushback from you on that. But my gosh, as you've done more research on this, you're talking about the danger. Am I correct in thinking initially our first kind of conversations on this, there was a little bit of pushback from you on that?
Oh, on the mask stuff?
Well, on the mask and the vaccines and all that. Initially, you know, this was years, several years ago.
Oh. Yeah, that's well, you know what? I years ago, I supported vaccines 100%. But, and this is why I bring up the question, how much research are these doctors doing? Because I did not realize the transition that the whole vaccine industry and the legislation surrounding vaccinations and pharmaceutical liability and all that. I was not aware of how much that had changed, how much that had devolved over time, and that kids were being given an insane number of vaccines. So when I started getting more educated about that, then my whole attitude about vaccines really changed.
Right,
I'm not
an
anti-vaxxer. I got my shingles vaccine, but more, it's informed consent at this point, and I'm highly suspicious of the whole process. Yeah,
and I'm with you on that as well. And I'm looking at the clock. My gosh, it's 6:48, which means we've got about 10 minutes after we come back from break. Jill, and we decided to do three segments because we ran out of time. But I know that I think it's important that that people understand what you had said early on regarding this whole progression in Germany. I think that's probably how we need to button it up. Is that okay with you? We'll go to break.
Absolutely.
Okay, we'll do that. Okay, so we're going to go to break. Before we do that, though, these shows come to you because of great partners. Another great partner of mine is Hooters Restaurants, and they are located, they have five locations up and down the Front Range. That would be Westminster, Lone Tree, Aurora, Colorado Springs, and Loveland. And they have $10 burger specials every day, all day long. And holding the price on that, which I think is a great idea. They have, of course, I'm sure the plain burger, which I'm normally kind of a plain burger person, but they also have all kinds of other burgers as well. So be sure and check out Hooters Restaurants, another great sponsor of both of my shows. We're going to go to break. When we come back, we will continue this conversation with Dr. Jill Vecchio.
Life is more than what we have in the bank. Mary Alpers and Steve Cruz with 3 Points Financial understand that comprehensive financial planning is an important component for each individual to thrive and prosper. 3 Points Financial provides tax, investment, and retirement planning so that you can achieve your financial independence. With so much public policy uncertainty, it is important to have the professionals at 3 Points Financial working for you to navigate these uncharted waters. Check out 3pointsfinancial.com to schedule your initial consultation to achieve your financial freedom. That's 3pointsfinancial.com.
Would you have ever dreamed that freedom of speech, freedom of thought, freedom of assembly, and freedom of religion would be under assault and attack in America? Unbelievably, it is happening right before our eyes. That is why it is important to keep free-thinking, independent voices on the airwaves, the internet, and social media. Kim Munson is one of those important voices. Help her keep independence alive. Go to KimMunson.com to contribute, to join Kim in the battle of ideas raging in America today. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
From the mountains to the
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. Email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And thank you to all of you who support us. I really do appreciate that. And it is Veterans Day, and certainly a day to say thank you to our veterans for our freedom. But every day, say thank you for our freedom. And Dr. Jill Vecchio, I know that you are a warrior for our liberty. And you've been in this medical arena for quite some time. But I think the first time I ever heard you speak, you talked about what happened in Nazi Germany and medical arena. And it's important that people understand this, Jill.
Right. So the order of progression, I'm going to go through all of it, and then we can go back and touch on different areas. So really, it starts with socialized medicine. You have to have a centralized medicine. And in the U.S., we have government controlling a bunch of medicine, Medicare, Medicaid. And then we have the state governments control Medicaid and then the corporate and insurance and health insurance. And then we've got huge corporations running a huge amount of medicine. So centralized control of health care was the first step. Then with that centralized control, you have mostly non-physicians that are starting to tell doctors what they can and can't do, who they can and can't treat, how they can and can't treat them. And doctors are complying because the doctors are employed and their entire career and livelihood depends on making the government and these corporations happy. So the doctors are learning to comply and be obedient. So now the stage is set to manipulate how they think. So now you have Ezekiel Emanuels, right, that are preaching and writing in all of the respected medical journals how doctors should be forced to do things that they don't ethically, morally, or religiously believe in, that they should be forced to do it, that it's okay to not give care or to deny care a person because they're old or they're crippled or they're mentally ill.
Or they're unvaccinated.
That turns into the eugenics, yes. Then it's okay to sterilize people against their will. We actually had a law in the 1920s. A law was passed, and then it got repealed, that it was okay to sterilize mentally deficient people. So that's part of our history already. Then they started to make certain groups of people the enemy. The Jews became the enemy. In Hungary, the gypsies became the enemy. Who's the enemy now? The unvaccinated. Who are most of the unvaccinated? And the unvaccinated actually crosses over political lines because there are a whole lot of non-conservative people. But the people raising the most fuss tend to be conservative. You know, these are our rights. This is what constitutionally is and isn't right. So they have now created the enemy in the unvaccinated. So now you have to turn all of the vaccinated people against the unvaccinated in order to justify your ability and method of punishing them for non-obedience. That's, and you know what? That is kind of the final step to an average person making that transition from a caring, ethical, moral person to somebody who will step by step change their morality and change their ethical standards to allow for more and more vicious behavior to the point where doctors and nurses were actually voluntarily torturing patients and killing patients and performing horrible experiments on concentration camp Jews and gypsies and horrible things. And it's not something that the doctor started out this evil. They were groomed step by step. The entire country of Germany was groomed step by step to accept certain things in their society. And then it was okay. Then the Nazis could do what they wanted to, exterminating millions of people. It didn't just happen overnight. And it wasn't just one person. And it hasn't just happened one time. This is a template. And I'm really scared that this is happening really quickly here. Do you agree?
It is happening really quickly. However, I take great heart in American people, the big rally that was up in Fort Collins, which may be the very tip of the spear on this whole thing. Jill, this time has gone so quickly. We have about a minute left. But yes, it is happening, and so many people are stepping up to stand for freedom, to stand for liberty. These shows like we do are so important. I'm seeing more and more groups. It was just up in Boulder yesterday, a group of women that they're on fire about what is happening here. The mama bear has been awakened, and I'm very encouraged about that. Jill, we've got 1 minute left. How would you like to button this up?
I would just like for everyone, whether you've been vaccinated or not, at least appreciate how important it is that every single person, every single American, recognize this turning point, this tipping point with this vaccinated versus unvaccinated, because eventually they're going to come after you for something. It may not be the vaccine. But if you allow this kind of a mindset to take hold, where people, it's okay for people to be denied health care if they haven't had a vaccine, then it's going to come for you. It's going to come for you at some point.
Right. At some point in time, if you don't stand up, at some point in time, there will be something going on with you that would possibly cause somebody to say you couldn't have something. Dr. Jill Vacchio, the conversations are always so rich. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Kim. Happy Veterans Day to everybody. Thank you. Thank you for your service.
And thank you for my freedom. And with that, though, I went to Dr. Benjamin Rush for our quote at the end of the day as well. He said, mirth and even cheerfulness, when employed as remedies in low spirits, are like hot water to a frozen limb. So my friends today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. My friends, you are not alone. God bless you, and God bless America.